Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pitti Engineering's Q3 and nine-month FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Please note that this conference will be recorded. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may contain forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For a list of such considerations, please refer to the earnings presentation. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Akshay Pitti. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to all to our Q3 and FY23 earnings call. I intend to offer to you a brief overview of our operational and financial performance during the quarter before opening the floor to your questions. An increased capital allocation by 33% to 10 lakh crores in the Union Budget is expected to add further impetus to our business growth. Railways has also received the highest ever capital outlay of 2.4 lakh crores during the recent budget. We look forward to capitalize on the emerging opportunities in the RRTS, Vande Bharat, state and metro segments in the days ahead. We are well positioned with new product developments, and coupled with China Plus One supply chain strategy, we see continued growth in the company's export business. I would like to shed some light on our financial performance now. For quarter three, the revenue from operations stood at 239 crores compared to 265 crores in Q3 FY22, down by 9.94% on a YOY basis. Capacity utilization during the quarter was 66.25%. Our blended sale realization during the quarter stood at 260,000 rupees per metric ton. Blended EBITDA margin was 42,428 rupees per metric ton. Revenue degrowth and lower blended sale realization in absolute terms for the quarter is on account of softening of raw material costs. While we have reported growth in sales volume on a year-on-year basis to 9,150 metric tons compared to 8,500 metric tons. Company also recorded a net profit of 12.13 crores as compared to 11.060 crores in Q3 FY22, an increase of 5% on a YOY basis. For 9 months, capacity utilization stood at 70%. Our net worth has improved to 315 crores in December 2022. Net debt has declined from 336 crores to 260 crores. Consequently, net debt stood at 0.83 of equity. Now let's come to the operational highlights. On account of softening raw material prices and easing supply chain bottlenecks, we have been able to bring down our working capital by maintaining optimal raw material and finished goods stocks. Our continued efforts have allowed the company to reduce working capital outlay by 85 crores on a quarter-on-quarter basis. I would like to reiterate that the company has delivered a five-year CAGR revenue and PAT growth of 20% and 35% respectively. The demand outlook for FY24 remains strong, and we expect about 20% volume growth in the next year. Going forward, we see equally good demand from both railways and the non-railway business. Our focus on machine component business will continue, which will see sizable growth from next financial year. Construction of new sheds and expansion-related work is on track, and we expect to meet our earlier announced deadline of completion of CapEx by end of Q2 FY24. During the end of quarter, we also have received healthy order flows, which have continued to boost our order book. We have developed laminations for a variety of electric mobility platforms, large hydro customers, laminations for 1,200 megawatt and 1,400 megawatt pump storage application were also developed during the quarter. These machines have dual purpose of power generation and water pumping. We further received new LOIs for manufacturing parts used in electric vehicles during the quarter. Company has also bagged prestigious order for making shafts used for various applications in freight locomotives. These locomotives are manufactured by our client in the North America plants and have a business potential of approximately $10 million in the first phase over the next 10 years. We have provided the investor presentation on our website for your perusal. Now I would like to open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Bala Subramaniam from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations for good set of numbers. Sir, I want to understand about the relationship between assembled and value-added and loose laminations products. Like we have seen assembled and value-added volumes are grow by 14% year-on-year, while loose laminations are down by 8% year-on-year. So how do we understand like why we are focusing on assembled and value-added components? And what would be that realization difference between loose laminations and assembled and value-added components? These are my first questions, sir.
See, the difference between the realization of assembled lamination versus loose lamination varies dramatically. If it's a simple welded lamination stack, it is not going to be much different from a loose lamination sale realization. However, if it's a highly value-added assembled stack, then the sale realization can be multiple X's of loose lamination. Because of the various complexities involved in assemblies and child parts, which are dependent on customer design, we cannot put a firm number on the blended assembled value-add ka sale realization.
Okay, sir. Sir, on that shop manufacturing, we have mentioned about $10 million revenue over 10 years. We may assume every year 7 to 10 crores kind of revenue range we may expect, or like how we can understand that.
Yes, it's approximately $1 million per year opportunity over the next 10 years in the first phase. And depending on its success, we will be getting more and more orders on the sharp business going forward.
Okay, sir. Sir, in this paper, so how we are done importing, made some advance payments to the suppliers. If you go through...
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear your question. Your line cut out in between.
So right now, different best progress. And for machines, we have made any advance payments to the suppliers?
You're asking about the capital equipment advances?
Yes, sir.
Yes, of course we have done. The longer lead time machines we have already ordered. Machines which have less than 6 months lead time, we are obviously not ordered right now because we expect the capacity to come in by Q2 FY24.
Okay. If you could share any numbers for advance payments, that would be really helpful.
Approximately 75 crores is the capex incurred during the year so far.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I will come back in.
Thank you, sir. Anyone who wishes to ask the question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Swati Junjunwala from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. So my first question is, could you give me a brief breakup of the raw materials that you used?
So majority of the raw materials that we use is cold rolled steel. Of cold rolled silicon steel, which is electrical grade steel. Apart from that, we use a variety of other materials depending on the product in terms of child parts, raw materials, not primary raw material, which include aluminum, rolled steel, MS plates, castings. I mean, there's a laundry list of raw materials.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And how much would be the cold roll silicon steel approximately of the total RM?
Cold roll silicon steel of the total raw materials consumed should be about 70% by value.
70% by value. All right. Understood. Second is, can you tell me what are the major competitors right now in the EV space that you're operating? Like the product that you're selling to the electrical vehicles, how much competition is there right now, at least in India?
See, right now, most of the EV products are imported from China, which are consumed in India. There are many people in the north of country who are doing it as a cottage industry. As you must be aware, they are smaller manufacturers of three-wheelers and two-wheelers in North. Where they are getting the lamination from is predominantly the unorganized sector. The organized players are right now still starting to make their own motors, and as they increase, we'll get more competition. So far, all these products are in developmental stage, so there's not really any competition for orders. It's more of product development that is going on right now.
Understood. So, okay. And third is, can you give any idea of market share in all the segments that you operate in, for like on the basis of end user application?
I have noted your question. We'll get the answer to you once you share your contacts. I will not have that offhand.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Keshav from Rakshan Investors. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Would our focus in EV space be in motor sub-assembly or some other value chain as well?
See, right now it is going to be mainly motor and stator and rotors, which are going into the motor of the EV. That is the current EV opportunity that we have. Going forward, again, how the customers decide to develop their supply chains, whether they want more assembled parts or they want looser parts, that is currently, you know, something that we cannot comment on. It depends on their supply chain strategy.
Sure. So for laminations, do you think that for EV particularly, do you think that we need to step into powder metallurgy or have SMC capabilities if we look from core and hysteresis loss perspective? It happens to offer pretty good incentives. So, or another way to put it is, if you see a risk in SMC or ferrites taking market share from laminated steel, silicon steel.
See, right now most of the EVs that they are making is predominantly from very, very efficient e-steel, which is 0.19, 0.25 mm thick, 230, 250 grade. As of now, this is what is going on in the market. If it decides to move into a different direction, then we'll see whether we are in a position to capture that opportunity or not.
Sure, understood. And in one of your annual reports, there was a data point that China supplies 90 to 95% of windmill parts. We've also been continuously hearing China Plus One echoes for almost four or five years now. And the global wind turbine market itself is some north of $50 billion. And we do make windmill components. So like the kind of growth we are seeing in locomotives because of the playing field being set for domestic manufacturers, why are we not seeing that kind of traction for the windmill vertical? If we are in testing and validation phase with clients, that's why, or are there other companies or countries taking the lead, or is the barrier to entry working for China in this particular domain?
If you go back to the 2.5-3 years and see the renewable energy's contribution to our revenues, I think it was in the low single digits or in some quarters even zero contribution. Today, renewable energy is almost a 5% of revenue. So we are already getting that opportunity. But to move such large supply chains out of China takes time. So the first to move are the smaller components which are easily established, for which we also have the facility and capability to do. The bigger opportunity would be there in very large machine castings. Castings which are used in the rotor hubs or the mainframes or the blade adapters. Those are things that we don't do as of now.
Sure. So just taking windmill parts as this particular vertical, where do we see its contribution, potential contribution coming in, say, in another 3 to 5 years? By then, I think a lot of supply chain could already be shifted, right?
See, right now on the windmill components, we are focusing primarily again on the generator parts and the shafts and the smaller castings. In those combined, I think the revenue potential should be close to 100 crores over the next 3 years per annum.
Sure. And sir, if we take a player like Craftsman, which is also present in many of the sub-segments we operate in, and they are also a locomotive locomotive component supplier to GE, for example, they have sheet metal casting, machining, as well as tooling capabilities as per their disclosures. So instead of being a peer in machining, they look like a more like-to-like peer in other aspects as well. So firstly, now we've spoken of barrier to entry with long gestation periods to onboard clients. So Do two players like us and Craftsman coexist by the virtue of demarcation of product expertise? As in, if we speak about motor assemblies, such as laminations, core, rotor, stator, we would be the leader.
See, to the best of my knowledge, sorry to interrupt you, but to the best of my knowledge, as of now, Craftsman is not supplying anything in significant quantity to Wabtec, at least over the last 3 years. Most of the components that they used to machine have already shifted out, as their focus, I think, is on. I don't want to comment on what their focus is, but to the best of my knowledge, they are not any supplying any components to Wabtec.
Okay, sure. Understood. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Balasubramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, sir. Sir, two questions. First is, what is happening on the EV side of our business right now, electric mobility? What kind of growth you are expected to see next 2 years, if you can throw some light on the EV side of the business? Second, I've just joined late, so I may be repetitive. On the railway side, some of our suppliers, some of our clients have received big orders. So are you seeing some, are you getting some queries, and now what is happening at that level, sir?
So, on the EV side, let me start off. As I've already mentioned, most of the work is in the developmental stage today. There's not really any significant commercial supply. How the manufacturing of EV motors in India ramps up will depend on how the business plays out next couple of years. As of now, the business indication given to us is that it can be a 30 to 40 crore per year opportunity by 2 years from now. But a lot of developments needs to be done to get there. As far as the locomotive orders, I think you must be referring to the Siemens award for the 9,000 horsepower locomotives. So we have discussions going on with our clients on the possibility of supply of components, and we are receiving orders and inquiries both. Apart from the Siemens 9,000 horsepower locomotive order, there's also the RRTS Agra-Kanpur and Bhopal-Indore, which is under the developmental stage.
Okay, sir. Sir, also two more questions. One is, now the steel prices have started picking up. So, are you going to see some, like, how much days of inventory we generally kept, and when we are going to see some impact on the steel prices? Are you going to see some inventory gain in this quarter, sir?
No, the very nature of the contract that we have with our clients, we are more or less insulated from any inventory loss, and by that same virtue, we'll be not getting any inventory gains.
Okay.
So we should not see any inventory gain or loss.
Okay. And sir, what kind of incentives we are expecting in Q4, sir, for the GST benefit, sir?
30 crores is expected in Q4.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. If I have anything else, I'll be in the line, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Sanjeev Zarbade from Dream Ladder Investment Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Sir, my question was regarding the revenue growth. So, I can understand that raw material prices have come down while our volume growth has gone up, but overall revenue growth has declined. But if I compare it with other peers who are in the same product segment, like Bharat Bijli or CG Power, they have reported year-on-year growth on positive growth in revenues. So despite the much, positive business environment, our revenue growth has declined on a year-on-year basis. And on top of that, we have a sizable debt also on the balance sheet. So, how do we, plan to take it forward in terms of cash generation, in terms of growth? If you could.
I think we are very comfortable in terms of cash generation and liquidity position. Net debt is, I think, less than 260 crores today, which is way lower than the peak debt that we had actually projected. So on the debt side and the cash flow side, we are very, very comfortable. See, revenue in our industry, because we are an intermediary to these players that you just referred to. So revenue for us has no meaning at the end of the day, because it is determined by the raw material prices. In fact, if the revenue grows because of, say, inflation, we are actually deploying more working capital for the same amount of profit.
And
the correct barometer for our performance is the volume growth.
Yeah, but volume growth is not also not very, you know, it's like I think late single digit or maybe early teens. So something, given the kind of, you know, vibrancy we are seeing in the railway side and even manufacturing side, one would probably expect company of our size to, you know, grow in high teens. So in volume terms, so so that's what I was actually looking at.
I think on a year-on-year basis for 9 months, we have grown, just to correct you, 14.63%.
Okay. Fair point. And sir, in terms of incentives, if you could share the details in terms of how much we received in FY22 and also in the current year.
So FY22, we received 12 crores. Current year, so far, we have received nothing. We'll be receiving it in Q4 in one shot, which is about 30 crores.
Okay. Great. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Swati Jhunjhunwala from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a small clarification. So if I see on a per ton basis, the gross profit per ton has decreased from 92,200 odd to 86,200. So any specific reason for that? This on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
Those things will keep changing. I cannot have a specific answer for that. It's a blend of all the products and services that we do. In certain products, the flow through from gross profit to EBITDA will be higher. In certain kind of products, the flow through from gross profit to EBITDA will be lower. It also depends on the value add that you're doing.
Understood. So, so is it fair to assume that EBITDA is a better judge of the profits rather than gross profit?
Of course, that would be the most appropriate, because on the operating level, after all the operating costs are accounted for, EBITDA per ton would be the best barometer for the profitability of the company.
Right. Understood. And so on the EBITDA per ton, this quarter, I think we posted something around 42,400. So where do we see this going into Q4 and let's say for FY24?
See, Q4, I will not be able to give you a specific answer because it's too precise. But if you take it over a long term, say over the next 2 to 3 years, we expect this to move closer to 45 and upwards of that.
Like, no.
See, what you have to see is that if you see the contribution of machining and machine components business in the overall blend of the sales, as that increases, the EBITDA per ton would increase, because those are typically the higher profit margin kind of business.
Right. Understood. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Rabindranath Nayak from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you mentioned about briefly about this Siemens order. What is the opportunity we are looking at this order first, and how the ecosystem will work? You know, how you are going to benefit from this order or not benefited from this order, or how the system will work? Can you please briefly tell about that? In briefly, how the things will work out for you for the Siemens, or if at all any opportunity comes?
Yeah, so the locomotive will require motors. It will require a bunch of castings for its various components, such as axle boxes, shafts. There's a whole list of components. Now, we'll obviously be trying to bid for all the products. It depends on how many of those products we get the order for. Whatever we'll get the order for will be our additional business from here on.
Okay, so you will get direct orders, or it will be, you know, through some other party, third party, you will get the order?
See, Siemens has been awarded this contract. I mean, literally like a month ago or less than a month ago for the supply chain to crystallize, it's going to take time. So I can't comment on how they're going to structure their supply chain.
Okay. So as far as the our discussions are going on with the, are we talking directly to Siemens or through the intermediaries we are talking to them?
See, those are things I cannot actually divulge. I'm not at liberty to divulge those.
Okay. Sir, regarding, you have given the around 10 segments on the industrial exposure of your business. So, among them, which segment particularly is you are doing more value addition? If you can tell in the pecking order spaces, that would be helpful to understand better.
So, renewable energy, traction motor, railway components, mining, oil and gas, data centers, these are the highest value addition, followed by power, special purpose motors, power generation, and then coming to automotive and industrial commercial.
Okay, so automotive comes in the last in terms of value addition, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And about target tonnage for FY23 for you, what are targeting for 23? And what about your capacity addition in terms of machining? What is the status for that? Can you please highlight something on that?
The capacity addition across the board is on track for FY24 Q2 end. Machining capacity will keep getting added further beyond that as well. As we require the machines, we'll be bringing them in. In terms of target for FY23, up to now we have done about 26,700 tons approximately. We are targeting about 10,000 tons in Q4. As of now, we have line of sight for that. So this will be somewhere close to 37,000.
Okay. And if at all in Siemens order we get anything, so we need to do further capex for that, or we don't need further capex for this?
No, we don't need further capex. The current capex, which is in process, is more than sufficient to take care of those requirements.
Okay. And what is the targeted date for FY23? Net date by the end of the FY23?
I think it should hover around the same level as Q3 end, which is about 260 to 280.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Vikram from Nivesh I Investments Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. So what is current net debt of company and what is our debt repayment plan?
The total net debt of the company as on today is 260 crores, out of which the overall long-term debt I think is less than 90 crores, which is payable over the next 5 years. The residual debt is entirely working capital.
And what is interest cost?
Interest cost, of course,
interest rate.
It will vary from different kind of facilities. Now, for example, we have significant export facilities which are dollar denominated. So on a blended basis, we have about an 8% cost of finance. On a blended basis.
Okay. And with the increase in steel prices, we can expect some increase in debt also in next quarter?
If the steel prices increase, of course, a little more working capital would be required. How much it will impact the net debt picture is a little difficult to say, but I really don't see any negative impact on the net debt side going forward. As the cash generation at the company's end is robust, I don't think we should have a net debt issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. We take the next follow-up question from the line of Mr. Balasubramanian from Allianz Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. And sir, out of 884 crores order book, if you could throw some light on split between railway orders and non-railway orders.
Bala, I don't think we can give that out because that will keep changing from time to time. As on that date, there was an order book. I think our IR person can give you a split of that on that date.
Okay, sir. Okay.
As on 31st March, December, whatever it is, Rama Naidu from Intellect PR can get that across to you.
Fine, sir. Fine. So next second question regarding this automotive segment. Like last call, you have mentioned around 40 crores of revenue expected by this H2 FY23. So how we are on track on it? And by next year, you have mentioned about 90 to 100 crores of revenue. So like, is there any change in that guidance or?
See, the development from our customer end is going quite slow. If you see year on year, we've at least now got to 2 crores per quarter kind of revenue. As of Q3, going forward as the business develops, I think 6 to 8 months kind of a push out should be there from the original timeline on that number, at the very minimum from what we are seeing today.
Okay. So we are also doing additional capex of 197 crores. So like these capex will be funded through internal accrual, or we are going for debt, or we are planning for some QIP. If you could throw that, more light on
that. That will be from internal accruals only. Even if I take that number, the balance capex which we are planning to incur over the next 2 years, including the first 270 crores which was approved by the board on 27 June 2020, and the second capex which was approved of 197 crores in May of 22. Totally, we are still to spend only 257 over the next 2 years.
Okay, sir. Okay. So, like, till now we spend 75 crores for this quarter or the whole?
For nine months.
How much capex is left out of 270 crores?
Out of first 270 crores?
Yes, sir. How much capex is left?
From the first 270 crores, we have, just hold on for 1 second, 60 crores more to be spent.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's it, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Mr. Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. The first question is just trying to understand, how this budget capital allocation of 10 lakh crores and 2.5 lakh crore to railways, how and when does that flow in through to your order book? I mean, you must have seen these budgets every year. So how do we understand how different this is and when we could possibly see this in your order book?
See, to flow to the order book, certain shorter lead time businesses such as the allocation towards Vande Bharat train, those can flow as early as the next 4 to 5 months. The longer term provisions, which are like the Siemens order or the RRTS initiatives, those take more time to flow in because it requires design and development at our client end itself. And then those orders will flow to us. So, you know, like there's a lag which is not consistent across all product categories. If you talk of the 10 lakh crore capital investment the government has done, now, the breakup of that is, you know, wide and diverse, right from highways to power projects, you know, everything is coupled in that 10 lakh crores.
Right. But so how do you see your planning over the next 2-3 years? Like once these budgets come in, was this a surprise for you? If it was, you would accordingly have to create certain capacities as well, right? So how did your thinking change post the budget?
For us, nothing much changes post the budget. It is just that the government has actually allocated the money to the projects that they were already discussing. So the RRTS project or the Vande Bharat Express is not something that has come up in the last 2 months or 6 months. Vande Bharat train has been in development since 2018. And we've been supplying developmental parts to it from 2018 itself. RRTS is a business that we are currently discussing and doing a design work for our clients for the last year. So, you know, nothing much changes on the budget except that, you know, actually that the projects are going ahead rather than just being discussed.
Right. And also in terms of Pitti Castings, I mean, any timeline for merging that entity? And also, I mean, what if you could just talk about the kind of opportunities and synergies that might create once you do so?
Pulkit, I won't be able to disclose anything related to that right now.
Okay. Understood. All right, great. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Anurag Runwal from Moneybee Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, Akshay sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. On the capex part, I just wanted to confirm. So you mentioned, and as far as first phase is concerned, around 60 crores is spending, right? Yet to be spent. And how much is left in the second phase?
Entirely 1797 is pending.
Okay. And when do you plan to sort of cover it?
That is planned to be covered starting 1st of October 2023 through end of 2024.
End of 2024. So, okay. So, the new capacities which are coming till...
you can take it, you know, you can take it approximately like 60 crores over the next 6 months. And about 100 crores per 6 months thereon.
Okay, okay. So the capacity additions which are coming till Q2, those are relating to phase one.
Yes, those are related to phase one, and those are related predominantly to the lamination side. Then we'll be doing the transfer of the lamination capacity from Hyderabad to Aurangabad, and then expanding the machining facilities further.
Okay, and how much expansion will be happening in the machining capacity in the second phase?
See, it is better to, you know, kind of club both the phases because it is happening, you know, in an overlapping manner. So currently we are at 4 lakh machine hours as of December. We'll be going to 6 lakh 48 hours by end of December 24.
Okay. Okay. So, no, so, but the 100 crores that you are spending in the second phase that you mentioned, over, so 100 crores each year you are spending, right? So, I'm getting a bit confused. So, 60 crores in the first phase, right? This will be till October in which you are increasing the lamination capacity. And then you are spending around 197 crores additional over the next 2 years starting from October 23, correct?
Correct.
And in this, there is going to be transfer of
modernization of the existing lamination facility of Hyderabad and expansion of machining facility at both Hyderabad and Aurangabad.
Okay, okay. Okay. Okay, all right, sir. Thank you. Got it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Ravindranath Nayak from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
What is our total incentive from the Maharashtra government we are expected to book in this year, for 23?
30 crores, which I mentioned.
Pardon, sir?
30 crores.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for a wonderful call. If there are any more queries, you may please reach out to Ramanaidu from Intellect PR. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Pitti Engineerings, I would like to thank all of you for joining the call. For any further information or for visiting the plant, please be in touch with Ramanaidu from Intellect IR. He can be reached out at 9920209623. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.